The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kentley Bidlin. Live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. Chris Velik is going to talk to us. He's got Champions League thoughts. Derby, Kentucky Derby, that's kind of his bag. He gets all dressed up. He's going to be on the Fox coverage, I would imagine, for this. I'm guessing. We'll get his thoughts on the Derby. His thoughts on the Guardians, because he had the bet.
I don't think he's going. I don't think
he's not
there.
Going?
Yeah, I don't think he's there.
Oh, Fox doesn't do this one. They do the Belmont, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, NBC does the Derby.
Probably
right?
Shouldn't be speaking for him. I'm pretty sure that's what he told me.
If only he was coming on the show, we could ask him directly.
Drew will be there, and he will be live for us on Friday.
Yeah, he's our on-the-scene reporter
that's right.
on Friday. I won't talk to him about the Knicks bet, though. And Zach Cohen standing by, too. I got to get some more tweets, because y'all are the best. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Dukes in the PNW says, whomever was holding Phillies first to 20, Sixers money line tickets, both of those should stop betting immediately. It won't get any better. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
What a great, what a great day for possible Philly city bettors, fan bettors.
Oh, man.
And what a horrible day for Cleveland fan bettors.
Yeah. Yayo, nothing to be ashamed of. Gil, still the best in the biz. Thank you, Yayo. Jeremy Baker, unbelievable way to go down. Even without having the bet, it was awesome following with you. Mario Romero, what a bad blank and beat. I feel for you and everyone who was riding with you on that. Bill Marjalewski, hope I'm pronouncing that right. I just got on this because I respect the heck out of a bunch of you guys that took this. I'm not equipped to take these beats. Oh, Bill 80 did a whole thing on us, a sick day on the VSiN newsletter.
Riley. That is the VSiN newsletter today is you.
Just Riley Grannon said, the sweat on the Guardians bet over the last couple weeks has been wonderful to listen to, and every gambler empathizes with you guys. Thank you, Riley. Teasers and parlays. What a wild night to end the month. I didn't have any skin in the game, but I found myself watching multiple games at once, rooting your bet home. That was a fun ride, and I enjoyed every ANG segment when you discussed your bet. Let's bring home May most wins. Tim Geisler, feel your pain, Gil. I was pulling for you and the Guardians last night, but with two outs and one man on for the Astros in the 10th, the betting gods decided to lash out at you in the most devious way possible. Seek your revenge. Wow. Okay. Jesse Welch, I don't know if it's better or worse that it happened to the ANG Collective. On one hand, we all now have the same shared trauma. On the other, one swing and at least 100 of us just had our heart ripped out. LOL. Yeah, you gotta laugh.
Seek your revenge. What I like that because
seek your revenge.
Yeah, this is where Gil doesn't drink. When I got a few drinks in me, Gil, and I take a bad beat, it is I'm going to the blackjack table and I'm getting it all back right now. I'm seeking my revenge. Doesn't work out very well often.
It's not ever tried and true. Jay Wolf, solid ride and awesome handicap. Theatrical bad beat that seems impossible. Respect and best wishes for all future wagers. Thank you, Diggs. He's talking about the run differential, same as the Diamondbacks. More of an outlier for the Diamondbacks, though, than it was for the Phillies. Rick Mockery, awful. I had 50-1 at DK. Didn't care about mine as much as I cared about yours, Wayne. Thank you, Rick. Giuseppe Betta. Brutal beat. Sincere condolences. Is mostly my fault for rooting for you. My bad. Everybody's got their take. Oh, it was you, Giuseppe. Let's see. Cleveland Todd Hoyer also saying he's a Cleveland fan. Because I take no joy in saying this, but welcome to the Cleveland fan experience. I've got almost 50 years of this running through my anxiety-ridden veins.
Throughout this whole, the past couple days, the only thing I've been surprised about is we haven't gotten more of those tweets.
They're sprinkled in for sure. Michael Harrison, when things like this happen, you almost feel like there's some outside force that intentionally was out to get you. Let's make this as painful as possible. That's what he says. Mike Wilkening. Oh, Mike Wilkening, what's happening, man? I've known you both for a long time, and you're as sharp as they come because of your logic and application of lessons learned. I ache for you, but I will raise a toast when you each cash for even more one day and surely soon because you both sniff out value at the elite levels. Thank you, Mike Wilkening. It's very nice. Steve, as a Knicks fan with Braves most March, April wins, last night was absolutely brutal. Was hoping your Guardians would pull it through if Atlanta couldn't. God, people really...
Who? It's tough enough. Listen, you know, hearing you today, man. We don't need more tweets of different scenarios where this was bad last night.
How about this one? Hoops by Hoots. Entering May, I got my mind on the Guardians on my mind. He's ready for May. Mike Stacks, sorry for your Cleveland loss. Does this loss hurt more than the Jets beating the Rams in Survivor as 17-point dogs? Well, thanks for bringing that up, Mike Stacks.
Yeah, yeah. Mike, I haven't seen you in a while.
A great question.
Yeah, it actually is a good question. I would think they're different.
They're different. Yeah. They're totally
I don't want
different.
To speak for it. They're very different. I think it's hard to quantify one being worse than the other.
It was an easy Survivor year, though, in retrospect. Like 60 people or 30 people won in the end, right? So I don't know. Yeah, they're both.
Super easy. I was right there knocking on the door.
Home favorites, by the way. Zach Cohen is kind enough to join us after enduring all those sob stories. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He, of course, a VSiN writer and editor. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. It's a great handle. What's happening, Zach?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Oh, just, you know, like any normal day around here. What are you talking about? Everything's normal. Why do you ask? You're Mr. Defensive. Why do you ask? Why are you asking me? Everything's fine. All right, Zach, let's start with tennis. You have anything at the Madrid Open? We're getting to the business end of the tournament, as they say.
So I am waiting on some futures. I have Jannik Sinner to win the tournament at +300, and I also took Iga to win on the women's side at +150. So those are kind of coming down to it. I'm a little bit nervous about Sinner playing Felix tomorrow. The odds are a lot closer than you think they'd be, and Felix has been playing really well this week, so I'm a little nervous about that. But for today, I only have Mira Andreeva against Aryna Sabalenka. I have Andreeva to cover a 1.5 set spread, -140, and I also sprinkled the money line a little bit, which was about +175. I think down to +168 now, but I would still make those same bets if you can get them. I just think this has the potential to be, you know, Andreeva's true breakout moment, which is something that a lot of us that have been doing this for a while have been waiting for. I mean, she has two top 10 wins in her career, but those were against Ange DeBoer when she was playing really poorly, and Marketa Vondrousova, who, you know, nothing overly special talent, you know, talent wise. I mean, this is her first chance to get win over one of the truly elite players in the WTA, and I just like her chances of doing it. I think Andreeva is a really dangerous clay court player, very similar to Coco Gauff, who has given Sabalenka a ton of trouble in her last two meetings. You know, beat her at the U.S. Open, came really close to beating her at the Australian Open, but a really good defender, really good backhand, going to make a lot of extra balls. That's going to force Sabalenka to just, you know, really kind of dial things back and make shots. Otherwise, she's at risk of making a lot of unforced errors.
I think it's a great thought process. Mira Andreeva's clay court numbers are outstanding. They are outstanding. So the only question comes down to, is it still too early for her to rise to the occasion here? But it certainly will in the same circumstance moving forward. We're all rooting for you on Mira Andreeva today against Aryna Sabalenka. All right. National basketball. Is that all your tennis? National Basketball Association? Should we go to the association?
Yeah, it's all my tennis. I was considering getting in on Taylor Fritz yesterday, and I waited too long. Now it's like -185. I'm not going to touch it.
Yeah, I was considering it too, and I saw the price was too high as well. Yeah. Okay. NBA. Two games tonight. Again, the Celtics, two touchdown favorites, 14-point favorites at home against the Heat, looking to close out the Heat in five. And that's the Mavs and the Clippers, where the Mavericks are 3-point favorites. Total is 209. By the way, the total in the Heat-Celtics game is 199.5. Any plays tonight?
I've been getting burned on the overs in these Heat-Celtics games, but I'm still going back to it, kind of. I'm going to the over on the Celtics team total of over 107.5. I know that has a better chance of hitting. I no longer want to rely on Miami to help out offensively. I think that the Celtics, you know, I think they've kind of broken the Heat at this point. It's going to be really hard to see, you know, the classic Miami defensive effort, especially, you know, with Hawkes Jr. now out for this game. I mean, that's another guy that, you know, maybe not perfect defensively, but another big wing that can guard Tatum and Brown in a pinch. So I do think that there's, you know, a lot working against the Heat in this game. And I do think we're due for a Celtics, you know, offensive explosion. The three ball was kind of there last game, can still be better. And I do think that they're going to shoot it really well with Porzingis out tonight. I think you're going to see some more, you know, spacing lineups with Horford just having kind of the green light to, you know, shoot from the corners. And I just think that this is going to be a tough matchup for the Heat tonight with, I just think that they're done. I don't know.
Anything on the Mavs and the Clippers?
I have the Mavericks -2.5, which is -115. This is another one. It's been a really weird series. I just think that Dallas has a really hard time getting up for Los Angeles without Kawhi. I think they want to beat them at full strength, and it's, you know, hard to prepare for a team without their best player. And the Clippers without Kawhi play a little bit more of an open game. They just kind of run and gun. But we have now seen it twice, and I think the Mavericks are going to be able to adjust to it. And I just think it's a tough ask for Los Angeles to win three games in this series without one of the best players in the world. I still believe in Dallas as a contender in the Western Conference. I still believe in their defense. So I do think they're going to figure it out and get it done tonight on the road.
Remind us, if you will, Zach, what are some of your longer-term positions in the NBA? Do you have any?
I had the Timberwolves to win the NBA Finals, which was more of a play to hopefully hedge once they got to the Western Conference. I don't actually think they're going to win it. But yeah, so I was kind of in a tough position where I was rooting for my Suns, but my only real long-term future in the NBA was on the Timberwolves. I also have the Sixers to, same thing, win the NBA Finals, but that's really more of a play that hopefully they get to a Boston series in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I'm able to hedge there. Kind of alive now after last night. I still think there's a chance they win the series and end up going all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals.
But you don't feel that way about the T-Wolves? Your thought has changed on them?
No, I still think that they can. I think that series against Denver is pretty close to a toss-up. I haven't really decided which way I'm going to go with it. I think I'm going to take the Timberwolves plus 1.5 games. I still think they can get to the NBA Finals. I just think that I wouldn't be letting it ride at that point. I would just probably find a way to guarantee some money.
You still feel Nuggets and Celtics meet in the finals?
I still think so. Yeah, I think that just, you watch the series against the Lakers, like the late game execution for Denver is out of this world. I think that, you know, there's a lot to make fun of for the Lakers for, but I absolutely think that we might look back at this and say they were one of the top five teams in the league after when it's all said and done.
The Lakers you're talking about.
Yeah, I just think that they played really well in that series.
Yeah. It is funny because with all the NBA takes, most people, when you pin them down on finals teams, they're like Nuggets and Celtics. Right. It's hard to get off that. Although some people think the Timberwolves can pull it off here. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Cohen on the Mira Andreeva train today against Aryna Sabalenka in Madrid as we crescendo to Roland Garros and the French Open later this month. We'll come back. Chris Felique on multiple sports, including the Derby. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a Numbers Game, live from Bar Cannon at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin on the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets of beating the book. Darren Hodge. Gil, sorry for your, you lost your bet, but that description of your bad Guardians beat in the first segment was one of your best segments ever. Only topped the half hour you took to describe how the Westgate wouldn't cash your EGA French Open ticket. Oh, remember that? Jesse Welch, I'm going to clip that opening segment and make my wife listen to it because my attempts to contextualize what actually happened to us last night has absolutely not gotten the point across. It's so true. I told Deborah Song, fashion stylist, about it. I was like, I have a story to tell you. We're one out away from winning, you know, the amount of money we're going to win. And she goes, yeah, you know, you win some, you lose. I'm like, okay, never mind.
It's more like, I hear this never all mind. The time. What are you talking
never
about?
Never mind. James Sott, great segment there on this April bet at the beginning that reached so many of your listeners. I even had people at work talking about this today to give me condolences. What a ride. Thanks, Gil. And then Stringfellow Hawk. I was riding along at DK. Listen, Gil, love you, but that concluded my 2024 MLB wagering. Good luck the rest of the season. Chris Felique of the Bear joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at Chris Felique on Twitter. And, of course, he's the host of the Bear Bets Pod over there at Fox Sports. This is his time of year, man. Chris, before we get to the Triple Crown and the Derby specifically, you, sir, were on the Guardians bet as well. And earlier on the show, I don't know if you caught it, I described you, you're wonderful in real life, but through the betting prism, you're a seven-eighths glass-empty guy. Is that correct?
Not 7/8, maybe 3/5 or so, but a little bit more than a half. I'm definitely along the more pessimistic. And go back and read. Like literally, when we got to the ninth inning, and I literally texted you and Will. Can't wait until we get to see Hunter Gaddis in the bottom of the.
Yes, tank. You did.
I mean that guy's terrible. Like I may go to a Guardians Yankees game this year. Buying tickets as close to the Cleveland bullpen as I can find and just absolutely give that guy hell for as long as I can before I get thrown out of the stadium. At least I want to get his
his Venmo account. That way I can get a requesting five figures worth of money that he's, that he's cost us.
There was a lot of low key funny remarks. One was yours, which was low key, which was, "Oh, here comes Bregman. Wouldn't this be fitting?" I love that. Okay, where do you want to start? Let's start with the Champions League and let's work our way up to the Derby. What do you got for the Champions League?
This is a hard one to play because the thing that I like the most in the game today, it's PSG and Borussia Dortmund. For those who aren't familiar, the fact that the game is in Dortmund at the Yellow Wall, which is what the home venue for Dortmund is kind of nicknamed because they're so tough to go in there and win. Like Dortmund needs to go out and win this game and try and win this game by multiple goals. Whether they can or not, I don't know. Because if you're going back to Paris after a draw or maybe a one goal win, that's probably not going to be enough. But you know me, I hate playing overs. I hate relying on goals. But I can't see any way around it in this one. Like the thing that I like the most is both teams to score, which is minus 220. Maybe people don't want to lay around 220 or so. So I mean, if you want to get involved in the Champions League this afternoon, you can either lay that or maybe you parlay it with Celtics to win tonight, and that brings it down to around minus 165 or so. Maybe it's a little bit more appetizing for people, but I do think we will see goals today. And more specifically, if you go back and look at PSG over the last few years in their road games in the Champions League, both teams to score, I think, has hit like 12 of the last 13 times. So it's just the type of team that they are. They score a lot. They give up a lot. They're very weak on the back end. So both teams to score is the way I'm looking at in the Champions League today.
Okay, I lied. Real quick before we get to the Derby, you have an NL MVP bet that you made.
Yeah, I played Ellie De La Cruz at 15-1 yesterday to win NL MVP, and it's certainly not the best number. But if you look at his numbers for a team that's going to be in the playoff mix, like what happens if he goes out and has 25? I mean, home runs are down this year across the board, but what if he comes up with like 25 homers and 60-70 steals, hits around 270? 280 and the Reds are in the playoffs. Like the Dodgers players are probably split votes between Betts and Shohei. You're going to give it to Acuna again. I don't know. Like I think it's wide open. So I played LA at 15-1 to win NL MVP. And the other one I was looking at today, and I know you're probably going to say I'm crazy, but is Mason Miller at 100-1 to win American League Cy Young that crazy? I know you're going to have to deal with Corbin Burns and Scooble, but he's probably the best closer in the game right now.
Oh, he is.
He's averaging like 18 strikeouts per nine innings. He's unhittable. Now, the A's aren't going to win a ton of games. They're going to be better than people think. But I mean, 100-1, what, $25 or whatever, just something small like pizza money type deal. Like, I've certainly wasted a hell of a lot more money on stupider things than that. So, but I thought about maybe playing around with that as well.
Yeah,
I know it's hard for a closer to win that, though.
You knew that was my comment, right? It's hard for a closer to win. That's the only thing. Who's the last closer to win? Doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doo. I want to say it was Gagne, was it?
I think it was probably was Gagne. If Rivera didn't win one, then yeah, I think it was Gagne.
Yeah, I mean, just...
Didn't Mark Davis win one in the 90s, too?
Yes.
Yes.
89 and Gagne in 2003.
But you're right about Mason Miller. I mean, I mentioned this the other day with Borchard. I watched the Yankees A's game, and you could see it on the Yankees' faces. You could see it on Judge's face, like what is this? What was that? Like here's 102. See if you can hit it, buddy. All right, Derby. What are we doing?
I don't know exactly what we're doing yet. I'm still waiting. There's supposed to be some rain and weather in the forecast Friday. And then Saturday morning, it looks like I would guess just based on history, having been there many times, like the track will probably dry out. But if the track is wet, you absolutely want to use the number 3 horse, Mystic Dan. This is a horse that loves the slop. He ran a huge number at Oaklawn Park in winning one of the Derby preps there in the mud. So he's a horse he's run well at Churchill Downs. If it does come up sloppy, the 3 horse, Mystic Dan, is someone you want to include on your ticket. But I guess I think every handicapper is in agreement that if Fierceness breaks well from the outside post, now post 16, and he kind of has things his own way, he's going to win. But a couple of times he's been faced with adversity and he hasn't had things his own way, he's kind of thrown in the towel. And what's to make you think that in a 20-horse field with probably Forever Young, Track Phantom, Doorknock on the front end, like, that he's going to have things his own way? I don't think he's going to. Now, again, there are a bunch of things that could happen. Someone could get left at the gate. Someone could get knocked sideways, and maybe he inherits an easy lead. But I can't. I have to bet this race two different ways. I have to have one mindset of Fierceness breaks. Fierceness is the fastest horse. Fierceness is the best horse. He wins, and handicap it that way and make a series of bets that way. And then I have to bet the other way. Okay, maybe he's for those inside the loop on horse racing, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Bellamy Road, who is the favorite in the 2005 Derby, I want to say. He came in off of like running a 120 buyer in the Wood Memorial, won by 17 lengths. He was favored in the race, and he just absolutely just didn't run a step. Now you've got Fierceness coming in off of a 13-length romp down in Florida, ran a 110 or whatever it was in that race. And, like, are they kind of similar in that regard? And then if it is, then I think you need to take a look at horses like Just a Touch, who ran a really good race in the Bluegrass and probably won't be as close to the front end as he was there, where he was chasing a rabbit for Sierra Leone. I think you need to look at a horse like Just Steel, but for Dwayne Lucas, who ran a really good race in the Arkansas preps leading up to the race, and he's one of the faster horses in the race. He fits. He's like 20-1, and I think you need to take a look at a horse like Resilience for Bill Mott, who ran a really good race in the Wood. He's getting better. He's more mature, and Bill Mott's someone that's done wonders with long shots and Triple Crown races. So I think right now I'm going to be making two different series of bets. One, the more conservative, Fierceness is the best horse, he wins. And then, okay, what happens if it breaks down? And then you're looking at Just a Touch, Just Steel, Resilience, Mystic Dan, if the horse is, if the track is wet as well. I do think, like, there's been a lot of talk, and one of the things I like to do is gauge of different opinions and just kind of anticipate the board. If you're expecting a price on Catching Freedom or Forever Young or Anna Marie, you're not going to get it. Those three horses are the horses that have been talked about quite a bit. You're not going to get 20-1 on Anna Marie. You're probably going to get like 12-1. Catching Freedom is a horse that won the Louisiana Derby. That's a closer that's gotten a lot of hype too. So I think he's going to be a lot shorter come Saturday. Well, but by the time we get back to you on Friday, we'll have a better idea.
Okay. And on Friday, I'm going to ask you the two final questions. If a horse, I come to you from the future and a horse wins the Triple Crown, which is it? And Felica called Taprit in the Belmont before the Derby in 2017. I'm going to get a Belmont pick from him as well. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price, normally priced at $240. You can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. That's 50 cents a day. Whoa. When you use promo code ANG with VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI. 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
ANG as in a numbers game. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Promo code ANG. Get your credit card now.
That's VSIN.com/subscribe. By the way, we haven't had enough Kelly Billen on the show today. Kelly will have some golf thoughts a little later on.
Yeah, I got a few. All right. Like literally a few golf thoughts. Yeah.
All right. So okay, we'll get a little bit of Kelly Billen later on.
Birdie Fest at the Byron Nelson coming up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to overshoot on my Kelly promo. This is from, we get tweets at Beating the Book, Jim Devitt. Your love letter to baseball was spot on. watch with my 11-year-old daughter, and she learned more about appreciating baseball in one random Tuesday night in April than in her whole life. That is a great tweet. Thank you so much for that. Gabe Higgs, this is what it's like being a Cleveland fan, Gil.
Yeah.
Steven Vegas, oh, what a night it was. Diehard Knicks fan watching Maxey, who stole my Kobe White most improved bets, go NBA Jam on fire, tailed the Guardians bet at Circa, which dies in a walk-off. Oh, and had Pacers to win in five once Dame went down. Pacers no-show. Good times.
Ugh.
It's brutal. Good friend, Chillionaire. Good morning, guys. I'm speechless after the Knicks game last night. I'm a Knicks fan and also have a series player prop bet on Brunson for points leader. Both are in question now. At least I still have Wemby slips to look forward to. Yeah, sure do.
That one's amazing. Brunson, Maxey, and Bede are all, I think they're all within like a few points of each other. It's like 3 or 4 points of each other in that if you had bet in that market.
Dominic Valadez. Gil, even though you lost, my condolences. Thanks for taking us along on your adventure bet. I love VEASAN because y'all create a connection with us and bring us along while allowing us to get involved with y'all and create an excitement for all of us. Thank you, Dominic. That is a really meaningful tweet. Thank you so much. And then Bill Walsh, probably not that Bill Walsh, but Bill Walsh. Because that would be something if it was that Bill Walsh. Just to update the ANG injury report for May 1st, G. Alexander gut punch is active. And then Brandon Kyles. Sorry. No, really. I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. He comes to us on the Progressive Guest Line. It's Jason Weingarten, everybody. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. You know, I didn't want to text you after the game because I knew you probably just wanted to kind of decompress after that. But I was watching. I bet on the Guardians, you know, yesterday. I got the experience, not obviously the full experience, but I got to cheer it on with you and it was fun. I'm sorry it didn't work out, but man, you got your money's worth out of the month long sweat, yeah. Right?
Oh, sure did. Sure did. No, I appreciate that, man, on all counts. And I even referenced that with Drew during the NFL draft. Like, the draft went so poorly for him that I did that same thing where I'm like, I am not going to text Drew here. I'm going to wait for him to come out of his. So I appreciate that very much. Congratulations to you, sir, on Crawley Town making the playoffs.
Thank you. Not going to take any of the credit. Obviously, the players did the job and the coaches and Preston and everybody else. I just I'm along for the ride. I get to enjoy it. But the work was done by others.
Preston, I believe, I don't want to say 100%, but I believe he's coming on the show Friday. Is there something I should ask Preston? Is there something I should bring up?
If you were doing
an interview of him of this whole arc, what would you want to hear about?
Ask him if he'd do it again. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We have a question for you on Twitter, by the way. Are you interested in hearing the question that we have for you?
Sure. Sure.
Let me see if I can find it here. Jordan Pagel, can you ask Jason about NL/AL Rookie of the Year so far? Don't feel like there are a ton of standouts early on and seems like a good chance to grab some long shots.
Well, it really depends like who you think is a long shot because, you know, my opinion with this kind of stuff is, you know, you need the opportunity first off more than the talent. So you always need to identify the guys who actually have the opportunity to play if they're not playing yet. And then obviously guys like Colton Cowser and, you know, Jackson Merrill, the position players who are already up have a advantage. If you're looking for value though, I mean, Jackson Holiday at 50-1, is an insane price. Guy had one bad month. I mean, I can't really take that much away from, you know, however many, what he had, like 40, 50 at bats in the major leagues. 50-1. He was five to one before the season.
He was 2-34 and he got sent down. 2-34.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Not great.
That's the equivalent of eight and a half full baseball games, right?
But then like in the National League, and this is actually something I wish I had, you know, more time because I know we only have like 5 minutes or so, but like, you know, I wish I had more time to really dive into this and explain Yamamoto, Imanaga, Jared Jones, the top three between 3.5-1 and 5-1 is insane. Yeah, you know, we're not going to have two or three pitchers in the top five. Jared Jones, I'd be shocked if he even ends up in the top five at the end of the season for Rookie of the Year. Give me Andy Páez at, you know, 25-30-1. If I didn't already have a couple of the biggest tickets on him, I'd be more aggressive on adding here. But a guy like Andy Páez, Jason Hayward's not coming back and taking his job on the Dodgers. I mean, come on, let's be serious. We got a Cuban here who hits home runs and throws out people from the outfield at home plate. Like, give me that guy at 26-1. Give me Jackson Chourio at 18-1. Does it really, like, do we forget about these guys after 1 month? Like, there's no short-term memory in baseball anymore. It's crazy.
That's
like,
a long-term memory. That's a beautiful thing for betting, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, these guys, Chourio, 18-1, the other Jackson, Holiday, 50-1. I mean, you were having to basically jump all over yourself to get these guys at 5-1 two, 3 weeks ago. By the way, a Chourio Holiday parlay, if you think both of those guys are going to win, pays an astronomical 96-1 at this point, which for the season was, you know, unheard of. That was, we're talking, you know, tenth of that.
Yeah. And Páez, by the way, for the non-American, for the American audience, spelled P-A-G-E-S, looks like Pages. Páez.
Andy Pages. Yep. Yeah.
Andy Pages. Andrew Pages, Kelly.
I keep thinking you're saying potheads, so yeah. I'm like, Andy, what potheads?
Can I tell you a funny story real quick from yesterday, Gil?
Of course.
And Kelly?
Please.
As long as so I wanted potheads.
I wanted to make a parlay at FanDuel, and I texted our good friend Will Hill to see if he can help me. I wanted like Juan Soto MVP. I wanted him parlayed with Mike Trout to win comeback player of the year.
Oh my God.
I'm driving around LA. I had to go across town. So, you know, it's like an hour one way, an hour back. I got to make a couple stops in the way. So I kind of not paying attention.
Welcome to
LA. Get home. I got to take the dogs out. I get home, sit down, look at Twitter, says tore his meniscus. And I go, oh my God, Will, you didn't make that bet, right? Fortunately, he didn't. I would have had to pay him anyway. I mean, I just would have been stuck with it. I would have gotten literally an hour out of the bet. But it's just that sometimes those things happen. You know, you think you're going to make a bet, and then the guy announces he has a torn meniscus an hour later, and you look like an idiot. So dodged a bullet yesterday, but I think I'm not going to bet comeback player of the year anymore in any sport. I'm going to self-exclude myself from that category going forward. I'm just done with it. Like, I don't care anymore. I bet Mike Trout, or I try to bet Mike Trout. He announces he tears his meniscus. Damar Hamilton dies on the field, doesn't win. I'm just done with the award. Self excluded.
He's recusing himself from any further comeback. So if I catch you betting one of these, Jason, do we have permission to slap you in the neck?
Do it. Right. Tell me whatever. All I mean, right. I'll probably be like, nah, man, this time, think about it. Look at this. But, you know,
he died on the field.
Slap me twice.
How can he not read? How can he not win this? Believe me.
Slap me twice.
I was right there with you. Did you bet anything in baseball today or anything otherwise?
Bet the Orioles. I want them to get the sweep here. We got Corbin Burns. I think he's like minus 138 today. I think that was the last number I saw. He's my Cy Young pick. Still one of the favorites in the AL. Good team. Good baseball. You know, I gotta say, last night really felt like the first night of the year. I was like switching between games and had like multiple text threads going with people. Did you see that? What do you think of that? And then, by the way, the whole I didn't run it by you. I saw you saw it on Twitter, but what would have happened if these games had gone past midnight?
That started going around too. I'm like, oh please, I don't even want to think about this.
Because I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, I mean, the bet is what the standings say at 11:59 and 59 seconds on the end of, you know, April 30th. So I start thinking I have some interesting arguments here, but then it all didn't play out. So, but it was fun. Really had a good night though.
Yeah, it was awesome. Jason, thank you. Always great talking to you. And we miss your face, man. Let's get that camera going.
Or we're a couple days away. I mean, I'm pretty confident the contractors are going to get this done in the next week.
He, by the way, is the contractor. That's where the joke is. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Have a good week. See you guys later.
You too. Very lively Jason Weingarten today on the show. I will come back. A little golf and more next on The Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. That's VSIN. New customers bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSiN. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, who are you laughing at over there?
The horses that all have like song names, you know, it's very
forever. Yeah,
it's very difficult for me to look at the Derby odds and not start thinking that or Ave Maria, you know, all that good stuff. So I learned last segment that there's a comeback player of the year award in Major League Baseball. Was not aware of that. A lot of shops don't post odds for that, so I miss it.
I agree with you.
Yeah, he has a point though. Like after the DeMar Hamlin.
Oh, of course he has a point.
After DeMar Hamlin. What is any of this? Because you have to, and football did this, right? There was, like Aaron Schatz was telling us, there is some chatter about changing the name of that award to make it more definable, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, he told us it was at least something they were going to discuss, right?
I don't know if anything got done about it. We're going to show up next week. Hey, look, comeback player of the year. But
I,
at least
I say a lot of times I'm going to discuss things I never end up doing.
All right, NBA tonight, before we get to your golf.
Oh, I want to clarify Felica real quick.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so if you caught at the end of the segment him rattling through those few horses that he thought were going to be popular conversation pieces this week, and the odds were likely going to be shorter by the time the race actually starts. That's Forever Young, Honor Maria, and Catching Freedom. He did say...
Billie Jean, Human Nature, they're all in there.
We kind of ran out of time, but it was the obvious follow-up question was, okay, are these horses you would bet at fixed odds shops now that have them up like sportsbooks do? And he did say yes. That was the point he was trying to get across. If you do like one of those horses, bet them now.
Say the names of the horses. Do you know the horses?
Forever Young,
yeah.
Honor Maria, Catching Freedom.
He didn't say Just a Touch in there?
No, I think that was part of a different conversation.
By the way, Just a Touch, also a song.
I was clarifying this with him, yes.
Just a Touch, also the name of a song by the group Slave, for those who know these kinds of things.
See, there you go. Yeah. There you go. There's a million of them. Okay, NBA tonight?
Full Derby, shall we just say this? So Peter Fornatale on the Derby tomorrow. He's in a long time Beating the Book and Dork podcast guest of mine, Peter Fornatale. Who I think attends the Derby, but we'll see where he is tomorrow. He'll talk it tomorrow before Crack is on with us. Legace also on tomorrow. And then Friday is full Derby immersion. Yes, the 150th running of the run for the Roses. The fastest 2 minutes in sports. You know you've arrived as a sporting event when you have different ways of describing it. All these different things mean the Derby. We have Felica and we have Drew Dinsick from Churchill Downs.
I don't think Chris is going to be there, which we never
No, asked. Chris is not.
Yeah.
I'm saying, but
yes,
Drew is.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we forgot to ask. No, I think I'm right.
We said we were going to ask that.
I think Fox gets the Belmont. So he gets all gussied up for the Belmont.
Is that the last? Preakness than Belmont, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because I feel like it's always jolting with, like, it switches networks, right? And you're like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah. It's Derby, Preakness, Belmont Stakes. How long you been around doing this on the horse racing stuff?
Oh, God, forever. Yeah, I know.
Making sure. All right, NBA tonight.
Hey, man, it's been long NBA nights, okay?
Bro.
You know how it feels. Come on. Our brains are half broken in these mornings.
I hope I didn't scare the Magic girl, by the way, too much. She was something else. She was something else.
I mean.
Oh, Paolo, you always do that. I'm like, oh, God. Dear God.
I mean, you meet some interesting people in a sports book, but, you know, hey, if she wasn't self-aware enough to know that she was being a little rambunctious, then she should have no ill will towards you.
But it's not rambunctious. It's like it's the person. Have you been to a sports book with Wishnev? Let me just bring up Todd Wishnev, my buddy. Todd makes it a point. You're sitting there. I'm quiet. I'm sitting there with Todd. Todd wants everybody in the sports book to know what bets he has and how right he has been about all of them. Everyone must know. I'm like, Todd, do you really have to say it that loud? Okay, I'm right here. He was like, what are you talking about, Gilly? I'm like, oh, God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're embarrassing me. I don't say that out loud, but I know what he's doing, right?
That's great.
And so he was like, the Magic Girl was the equivalent of him just wanting everybody to know that she was intimate, but she knew the team intimately and maybe on a first name basis. Oh, Jamal, I don't think those are the right players right now. Like, okay.
I think that my favorite part of that still is just that the Knicks game is going
This epic game is going on.
One of the most legendary Knicks games of all time.
I'm into a 65-1 of this guy. She's watching the Magic and the Cavs.
There's probably some other dude in that sports book being like, what is going on in here? Like, this is chaos. Can I bring up real quick about that game last night? You did your baseball romanticism earlier.
Oh, yes, please.
I'm just going to do a very quick bit for the the 76ers fans out there. I know it's been tough, and the end of that game was tough where you're like, Joel Embiid's got nothing. He's exhausted. Yes, he was making mistakes. It was not a great game, but something happened last night, Gil. More than just a win. It was the ascension of a superstar.
Oh.
Tyrese Maxey.
Oh, yes.
I mean, come at the end of that game, it was Joel Embiid, you're dying on the court. Get out of my way. Set a screen and get out of my way because it's my time to take over this team and lead the way. They were not winning that game without Tyrese Maxey. Now, I'm not making shots. Taking over the way he took over.
Look, even John Stewart is
that was right after the game. This is so great.
John Stewart is like, that was something else.
If you haven't seen all the Knicks, famous Knicks fan reactions, you have to do that today because that is, look at John Stewart's face. He is blown away by what just happened in front of him with Maxey hitting that shot.
Tyrese with 46 in 51 minutes, 17 for 30 from the field, 7 of 12 from behind the arc. Also had 9 assists and 5 boards. And as we said, 29 seconds. We had a tweet today. I missed it. 29 seconds left. In the game, the Knicks are up 6, and someone said they showed us a win probability chart. I apologize to the person who sent this. That the Knicks at that point were 95.something%. I'm like, that's way too low.
I feel like it's way too low. And usually we're the guys saying it's way too high on those things.
Right. Those models are whatever.
I think they're wacky.
You know, whatever you put into them, it spits out. But up 6, 4-point play where he might have traveled. He certainly created the contact. Hart, 1 of 2 free throws. Maxey, not fouled by the Knicks. Drains the 3. They go to overtime.
I know what you're talking about, the creating the contact thing, but Mitchell Robinson had no business, and he said so afterward.
Yeah.
Like, he had no business. You don't contest a shot in that situation. Let him shoot it.
Well,
the worst thing you could do is exactly what happened.
But Maxey was, right, like, forward in doing it. You're right, but also at the same time, it's like, okay.
Yeah. That was just my long way of saying 76ers, you might still lose this series, and it might be a rough offseason, but, man, you've got that. For all these years where Joel Embiid had nobody else, nobody. James Harden let him down. Tobias Harris, the worst contract in the history of sports last night, showing off. You got a guy. You've got a guy that not only you can rely on, but when you are dealing with migraines, what was it? Bell's palsy, right?
Bell's palsy.
Bell's palsy, migraines, a knee injury, and you're playing 48 minutes on the court dying. There's a guy next to you that can actually go out there and win the game.
He was almost deferring to him last
night. Yes, he was.
But Embiid was awesome, too. Like, on one leg at the end, just saying, no, Jalen Brunson. By the way, apparently my imitation of Embiid sounded like my mom, according to Will.
I was so confused.
That was the weirdest moment of the show today. That was very odd. All right, but anything tonight, Celtics by 14. And then the Mavericks by 3.5 on the road.
So really bizarre. I'm glad we had Zach and Will bring up the bets that they have because Heat Celtics, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing anything with. I agree with both their bets, which sounds counterintuitive, where I would the Heat team total under in the first half. I don't see them putting up a lot. And I think this could be maybe not very sportsmanlike either. If the Celtics get this game out of control and they're at home, it's pour it on the Heat time and send these guys home, and it could be a ugly, ugly score. So, like, full game team total over for the Celtics, I like that too with Zach. I'm staying away. I don't think it makes sense for me to be betting it when I'm thinking that way, but I understand where both those guys are coming from. I am on the Mavericks tonight. I played the money line -130 when it first opened. I guess I would lay 3 still. No Tim Hardaway Jr. So for the Mavericks, that's not going to be great, but obviously no Kawhi Leonard on the other side. Look, the Clippers are both games they've won so far, they've shot 50% or more from 3. That is a big thing going on, and the Mavericks, I am hoping that Jason Kidd can catch up to Ty Lue and figure out some of his rotations. If I see Maxey Kleber play more than 10 minutes tonight, I'm going to lose my mind. He's got too many good players.
Golf thoughts, 30 seconds.
Golf thoughts. Keith Mitchell, I played outright, just a few outrights this week. It is a big-time birdie fest down at the Byron Nelson. So just taking a few outrights, and that's about it. Keith Mitchell, Mark Hubbard, and Alejandro Tosti, Nick Kyrgios.
That's our guy.
It's a bomber's course, so it could set up for him. Triple digits, I'm going to have some fun with that ticket this week, or hopefully. Matchups, Keith Mitchell over Davis Thompson. And then I did play Hubbard over Patrick Rodgers, but Rodgers actually withdrew last night. So that one will not qualify.
Thank you to you once again for living through the Guardians bet with us. Thank you for reliving it with us this morning. I cannot tell you how much fun, despite the result, it was to do this with all of you. We've done all we can do. If you are on the radio side, Gojo and Golic are next. If you're watching the pretty pictures, Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.